process of number two, I didn't know if I'd be passing out resumes after one time I don't preach, you guys prep the attendance for quite a while, get a baptism, so I figured I might be inspired, so. It's good to see everybody out this evening, it's good to be here, certainly wonderful anytime we can fill out more pews, so. I know there's a lot of visitors this morning, but we can always strive to invite others to come in to fill a pew. So that we can fill it. I've looked at the past record attendance in the past some time ago, and I know that we can fit more than that, or you guys have fit more than that in here before. So it's always a good to come study. This evening, I want to talk about that there are minor periods false teaching. And there always has been false teachers, just as Brother Blackford had talked about this morning going forward and talking about the Word and how important it is that we know it, how important it is that we study it, apply it to our lives, that the Word can be altered by men, that men will try to take away from it, add to it, and make it their own. As he had brought out, there are so many out there that have desires to be taught something that is false. But we need to make sure that we are always teaching the truth. And so I just want a reminder throughout the scriptures that there is false teaching, because too many today, again, I heard it many times, I would say many times, is when getting to talk to somebody and they get caught up and they say, well, I go here to this religion, my daughter goes to this religion, my son's over here at this religion, and then they bring up the point, well, I'm just glad that God has made us all the opportunity to do what we please and desire. And it's not so. And that's, again, it's all teachings of Christ, or our Savior. Because if it's not with the Lord, then it's against him. He who's not with me is against me. Who does not gather scatters abroad. And so we have to know that there's false teachings, and there are so many scriptures that show us that. Today, everybody has that mindset that we can go different ways and be okay, but the Word of God shows us time and again that there are going to be false teachers. And so the first point I want to bring out is that there always has been. There always has been false teachers, false prophets, as it would be referred to in the old. But the first temptation was a serpent, was Satan tempting with lies. And that's what false teaching is. False teaching is a lie. Now, sometimes it is a lie that many have got caught up in truly believing for themselves. But all in all, it's still a lie. It's still false. It's still not the truth. And here, from the beginning of time, that is what Satan has done. Satan has altered the truth. The serpent here, as you read in Genesis 3 verse 1, it says, now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the tree, fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. And again, it wasn't a full-out lie, right? This was a partial lie. Because he wasn't lying that their eyes would be open. He wasn't lying that they wouldn't, to an extent, physically die right off the bat. And so, it wasn't a full-fledged lie. It was a little bit of a bending the truth. And then since the beginning, since that very first temptation that we see right here, false teachings have been in the world, false doctrine, false prophets going forth and spreading the wrong news. In Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 20, Deuteronomy chapter 18, and looking here and in verse 20, it says, but the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name that I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that same prophet shall die. Again, as we go forth and say, well, they're teaching in the name of God, well, that's what God is saying right here. This is what the law, the command is being said. Anyone who would go forth and teach in my name and
command that I have not given, along with those who would teach commands of false gods, they shall surely die. So it's not just because someone say, in the name of God, and because they say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and then they go forth and start teaching something, well, they believe in Jesus. They just confessed it.
In the class that I'm teaching now, the young boys is in our class, just boys right now, but we are going through the confession. And one of the things that you read in there, 1 John, and throughout the 1 John and 2 John, it makes the point a few times, those who confess Christ are of God, and those who do not confess Christ are the Antichrist. But one of the points I wanted to make sure they understand, it wasn't just anyone who says, I believe, means that they are a Christian. Just because they claim that, I believe in Jesus, I believe in God, I believe He died and resurrected, there's more to it. That they had to actually follow through, that they had to hold fast to that confession. And therefore, as again, Brother Blackford had brought out this morning, if you believe in Jesus, then you must believe in His teachings, and therefore you must obey what He's commanded you to do. Let the false teachers go forth and speak in the name of the Lord, and they will bring out partial truths. Not everything by the doctrine in which the Lord God has given to us. If you turn along with me to Ezekiel chapter 13 and verse 9. Ezekiel 13 and looking at verse 9. As it reads here, it says, my hand will be against the prophets who see false visions, and who give lying dimensions. They shall not be in the council of my people, nor be enrolled in the register of the house of Israel, nor shall they enter the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord God. I mean, he is continuously warning Israel of false prophets, of false teachers. He says they have no part in my kingdom. And yet, the world and their mindset is that everybody is part of God's kingdom. Everybody has their part. We're all going to the same place, but just going different directions. If they were not going along the way God has designed us to go, the way God had commanded it to be, then they were false. And he says they have no part, that they shall be put to death. Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 14. Jeremiah 14 and verse 14. It says, and the Lord said to me, the prophets are prophesying lies. The prophets are prophesying lies in my name. I did not send them, nor did I command them or speak to them. They are prophesying to you a lying vision, worthless division, and deceit of their own minds. False teaching. It was going on long ago. Again, it was the way the first temptation took place. Adam and Eve probably passed by that tree how many times? But then a serpent sets it in mind, saying, did he really say that? Then saying, no, look, this is what really is going on. False teaching catches so many. That's why we must know the Word. We must truly understand it. We must continuously study. Because again, the false teaching throughout the Old Testament, false teaching is still here today. We'll learn about it throughout the New Testament. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Acts 20 and looking at verse 28. It says, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will rise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not see time or day to admonish everyone with tears. Yes, he says, I know.
I just know when I leave, there are going to be wolves coming. And Satan is out there like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Watching for those who are going to stumble, those who are weak, those who may be injured. Seeing who's by themselves and alone so that he can pounce and take them down. And so false teachers look for those who seem that they may be struggling and give them a little advice with a little twist of their own.
Time and again, we are warned of false teaching. 2 Peter 3, verse 17. 2 Peter 3, looking at verse 17. It says, you therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability.
Knowing this is coming, knowing there is false teaching, knowing that there is error being taught, don't fall for it. There's some things, again, it's amazing what kids end up believing. What kids can again, their minds are still growing, they just don't understand. Sometimes you sit back, do you really believe that?
Do we understand what the Word of God is? What it says? It tells us that there are false teachers, that there are doctrines out there that are not lined up with the Word of God. And so therefore, we must know right from wrong. We must know the truth and what it says. Therefore, we need to continue to study. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. It doesn't say that they are coming, that they will be here soon. It says they have gone out into the world.
Jesus, again, he warned his apostles, his disciples, that there would be those who rise up saying, I am the Christ. Don't fall for it. Don't fall for it.
Again, when Jesus tells them that, then why they said, well, why do you prove that you're a Jew? You said that there's false teachers. Don't fall for it. There's false teachers, false prophets. Just because somebody comes in and claims, did you know what the Bible says?
Again, this is why, after I get so far along the lesson, if I feel like we've had time to talk about something else, I'll sit there and start asking them, hey, what's the memory verse you worked on? What's something that you got that you know where we're talking about the Bible? Do you have any questions? And try to push that memory work part. Because so often we get caught up, we're told to be ready to give an answer for our faith. And we say, well, the Bible says this, where does it say that? Then it comes to the question, well, how can I trust you and your answer compared to the answer of my preacher? Compared to the pastor over here, according to Father so-and-so. We have to know the Scriptures to be able to show the truth so that we also know the truth.
Know whether or not when someone says, well, the Bible says, and you say, no, I've never read that verse. Can you show me? Matthew 7, again, Matthew 7, verse 15, beware of false prophets who come to you with sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruit. The only way we can recognize whether or not they are true teachers of God or not is to make sure that they are teaching from the Bible. Book, chapter, and verse.
if we don't know it, then ask, then where is that found? But hopefully it's to that point that as we get older, we'll know where it is and say, yeah, I know where that's at. We won't have to ask and say, yeah, that's over here. We can tell them where it's at. Or we can say, no, that's not in the Bible because the Bible says this over here and that contradicts it. So therefore, we must be ready. We must always be ready. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 14 says, and no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Again, if Satan's able to do that, appear as an angel of light, though he is the evil of this world, he is the prince of darkness, he is the god of this world, of this age, and yet he's somehow able to appear as an angel of light. I mean, you would think that someone so evil, father of murderers, father of liars, the deceiver, the tempter, oh man, that person's going to stand out, right? That one will stand out. Obviously, that person is a sinner.
The thing is, we can't tell. We can't tell one bit by just looking at somebody and saying, that person don't know what the Bible says. That person doesn't know the truth. That's why we must know the truth. And we must be ready at all times. That's why we must know the Word of God. Again, going back to 2 Peter 3, we read verse 17 earlier. Reading further in verse 18, 2 Peter 3 and verse 18 says, but grow. Going back to verse 17, it says, knowing that these things are coming, that people are being drawn away in error. It says, grow, verse 18, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Grow in the grace and knowledge of the truth. Knowing that error is out there. Knowing that there are those who are falling away. Knowing that there are false teachers. Study your Bible. 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. 1 Peter 3 and verse 15 says, but in your hearts honor Christ. Some translations will sanctify the Lord in your heart. Honor Christ the Lord as holy. Always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness. Again, it tells us that when we answer, we teach, be gentle, respect. Again, as you look at the teachings of Christ, how you picture the calmness he must have had. And just his replies and asking the question back. But he never backed down. He was willing to teach the truth. He knew right from wrong. He didn't say, oh, you're wrong, but I don't want to start anything. We must know the truth and be ready to give that answer. The Word of God has everything we need in order to be saved. Brother Blackburn referred to these scriptures this morning, 2 Timothy 3, in verses 16 and 17. All scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Understand that this verse tells us that there isn't a need for any other teaching. These verses tell us that there's no need for an update, for a new revelation, for another coming, and for the Spirit or Christ or God to give us another book. Because it says it has everything that men need, that the holy man of God may need in order to be equipped for every good work. Again, why do we need to know the Bible? Why do we need to study? Why do we need to open it? Because it has everything that can help us for teaching and reproof and for correcting, for training. Everything we need for every good work there is. It is perfect. It is complete. So therefore, we must continue to study, continue to make sure the truth is being taught,
continue to make sure that, the mistakes aren't being taught up here. When I'm teaching, when class is being taught, when we hear others during gospel meetings, Acts 17, verse 11, now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Confirming the truth. Encouragement, I know that I see it from up here, and then I get told from time to time, I get the notes down, I write them down, and they go and make sure the truth is there. Make sure that I didn't misread it, misquote it, that I didn't take it out of context. Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11, again, we look at Jesus overcoming Satan as he tries to misuse the scriptures. But he overcame by knowing the scriptures, by knowing the word, just as Brother Blackwood pointed out to us this morning. That's what we have to do. We have to study it. Continuously know it. We must know what the Word of God says. And always make sure that we confirm the truth by studying and going back and reading the Scriptures ourselves. Asking where in the book does it say that? Again, you won't find a Bible verse that says, hey, book, chapter, verse. Because again, it wasn't wrote in chapter and verses. They were a lot of letters and just written out and then all just continuously writing paragraphs and but it's easier for us to find it, but since they've added these chapters and verses for us. So we ask it in that manner. Where at in Matthew can I find it? Where at in the Old Testament can I say it? We need to be alert at all times and make sure we do not get carried away by false teachings. We don't want to leave without extending the Lord's invitation this evening. We always extend it. We always want to make sure everybody has the opportunity to obey the gospel. Knowing that it's not just on Sunday that you can be baptized, but we definitely want to make the opportunity known, remind that God is ready to forgive your sins if you're willing to give yourself over to Him. We follow the example that was given to us this morning by Addie, and be baptized and wash your sins away. You're here and you've obeyed the gospel in the past and you've fallen away, or if you're just struggling, or you just got something you would like to study, or you know something's coming about to come up and you need prayers of congregation, we're here for one another. So if there's anything we do for you, we let it be known. So stay in the spirit.
I'm satisfied.